I've mentioned, I don't think I've ever done a Sunday morning, Sunday night series before, having two series to prepare each week, but it's been a blessing. Our first message was on trusting God in troublesome times. Trusting God in troublesome times. The fact that, listen, ladies and gentlemen, God can be trusted. Say amen tonight, amen. God can be trusted, and especially in the troublesome times. Amen. Number two, last week we looked at investing in God in troublesome times. And we looked at Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 21, where it talks about, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the primary purpose of making spiritual investments is not to advance the harvest, though that will happen if we will invest in God. We will advance the harvest. We will see people saved. Amen. We can send missionaries around the world. We can send Bibles to dark lands. Amen. But again, the primary purpose of making spiritual investments is not to advance the harvest. It is to attach our hearts. How do you know that? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You say, for that person that gives, if you give to missions, listen, you give to missions, God is attaching your heart. Amen? God is attaching your heart. This is why we have missionaries in. Missionaries come and they present their work and they get to rub shoulders with us. Why? That God may attach our hearts to theirs. That we could see His work go forward. See people saved. Amen. Attaching our hearts. So we looked at investing in God in troublesome times. And listen, troublesome times are not the time to pull back from God. Amen. Not the time to trust Him less, it's time to trust Him more. Not the time to say, well, that's it, I'm not going to tithe and I'm not going to do this. No, no, no. It's a time to just keep on keeping on for God during the troubles. Because you know what, folks? Faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. I'll say it again. Faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And so this week we look at this idea of our thinking in troublesome times. Someone has well said, all spiritual battles start in the mind. I have the physique of a former athlete, amen. I used to play three sports. Played soccer in the fall, basketball in the winter, and then baseball in the summer. And we used to have to run for all those sports. When you weren't running, you were running. Amen. And so we'd run. And you know what I learned even back then? That whether you want to continue to run or not is irrelevant. It's all here. It's all here. You say, you know what, I need to keep running because the coach has got a big bat behind me and he's going to hit me if I don't. Whatever your motivation was, you either kept running or you didn't, but the battle was here. You'd be running along and your body would say, you know what, I'm tired. And you say, it doesn't matter, we're going to keep running, amen. Well, I'm really tired. How many of you known that battle? It's called the snooze button. Now you're getting personal, preacher. Now you're really meddling. Amen. Listen, whether we hit the snooze or not, it's right up here. Amen. If we know, hey, I got to get going. I got to read my Bible. I got to get up and pray. I got to have my coffee. Amen. Then we'll get up, get out of bed. But it's right here. By the way, have you ever had a thought come into your mind and you thought, where on earth did that come from? Can I tell you many times when we think those thoughts, they didn't come from earth. They came from a place beneath the earth. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Satan and his helpers are powerful. You read in the parable of the sower. There's the four soils. There's the sower and the seed. Amen. And we're ought to be sowers because the seed is the Word of God. Amen. And we're supposed to be sowing. And he sowed there. And the first seed fell by the wayside and fowls came and devoured it up. And Jesus, after he's done with the parable, his disciples pull him aside afterwards and said, explain that parable to us. We don't get it. And Jesus said, when anyone heareth the word and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, just like those birds snatched up the seed, then cometh the wicked one and snatch out of his heart the seed that was sown. Do you know Satan has the power to take thoughts? He also has the power to put thoughts in. How many of you know that? Of course he does. And we're talking tonight about our thinking. Our thinking in troublesome times. And listen, he's powerful. And we may not be responsible for what thoughts come in. Though, can I say this? Many times we are. Too much garbage on television. Too much. Saying this morning, we're talking about very same verses in Sunday school class, and we're just mentioning the last TV show with morals. The last sitcom with what you and I would call conventional, traditional morals is The Cosby Show. That's 25 years ago. That's a lot of immorality and filth since. Amen? And now it seems that what's on TV all the time is nothing but death, 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 death. CSI and Law and Order and all this stuff. It's just death and degradation. And by the way, you ought to turn it off. Amen. You ought to turn it off. But you ought to turn it off. Amen. Stop watching that garbage and filling your mind with filth. Amen. By the way, it's still all right to preach on that, isn't it? Still all right to preach on, put some good things into your mind. Amen. We're not responsible for every thought that comes. Good night. I think I broke this pulpit. Amen. We're not responsible for every thought that comes into our mind. But I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. We are responsible to show the door to thoughts that shouldn't be there. It says we're to bring into obedience, or bring into captivity, literally capture and captivate each thought to the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? Right here. See, when this book governs our thoughts, we can bring our thoughts into the obedience of Christ. And we're talking about our thinking in troublesome times. Listen, our thinking is always at a premium, but especially during troublesome times. Because the battle is here. Number one tonight, looking at our text, I want you to notice the prohibition. The prohibition is found in verse 6. And that is basically what not to think about. Verse number 6 says, "Be careful for nothing." Be careful for nothing. Now, that word careful, it's not the way you and I would interpret the word careful. We look at careful as saying, I would appreciate it if you would be a careful driver. That's a good thing. Please say amen. Unless you're all going to go out of here and woo, amen. When I was young, my mother's not here, so I can tell this story, amen. When I was about Tyler's age, amen, 10 years old, we lived on the side of a mountain, and we had a beacon on the side of our mountain. You say, what was the beacon there for? Well, we had an airport about five miles down the road, and that was so planes did not hit the mountain, amen. I think it's a good thing, amen. But that beacon had a ladder. A rung ladder. It was about 100 feet high. And when we were 8 and 10 years old, we used to climb it. Notice I said my mother's not here. She already has a weak heart. Amen. I don't need to help. We would climb it. And I'm going to tell you how we climbed it, Brother Boston. Carefully. We didn't climb it like this. I climbed it like this. And if it took me 10 minutes to get up there and there was somebody behind me, they could wait. Amen? Carefully. Okay? It's a different kind of careful here. It's not telling us to never be careful. Some people read that and say, oh, I don't have to be careful. It's not that. The word here, the Bible word here for careful, it's talking about being anxious and worrying. Anxious. Always having anxiety. We looked it up in the Greek. It means to be pulled in different directions. And I want to tell you something. God prohibits us to worry in our thinking. Are we supposed to worry? No. Why are we not? Well, listen, the verses we read last week tell us exactly why we're not supposed to worry. He talked about all the things that the Gentiles want. He said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, he says, don't bother with all that. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of those things. Listen, if you're a child of God, you have no need to worry. You've got a heavenly Father. And then he goes on to say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And then he says this, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the things of the morrow will take thought of itself, and sufficient unto the days the evil thereof. Don't worry. Amen. He's saying here, don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Worry must not dominate, drive, and direct our thoughts. Especially in troublesome times. Now listen, I will fully confess to you, easy preaching, hard living. Especially in troublesome times. Amen. Especially in times where there's trouble, when things aren't going right, when there's not enough money at the end of the month. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's the time where we ought not to worry. The prohibition. I want you to notice, secondly, tonight in verse 6, we not only see the prohibition and we can't worry, but we have to replace it with something. One of our missionaries, Faith Music Missions, they espouse the doctrine of replacement. Meaning if you have a tendency towards music, you like music in your spirit, you're a musical person, it's not enough to just get rid of bad music. You have to replace it with good music. And I want to tell you what we replace worry with. It's found in verse 6. We see the prohibition, we see the prayer, secondly. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. The only way to worry about nothing is to pray about everything. One of my favorite songs is, are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. You know what God wants us to do instead of worry? He wants us to pray. He wants us to pray. I'll tell you, you read the story of Daniel's account in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den. And you read that story and you see a lot of conniving, Brother Merrill. They get in the corners and they say, you know, we can't figure out any way to get against Daniel except for his God. Because they knew he served God. And they put together this plan and talked the king into signing this unrighteous decree. By the way, there's still a lot of that going around, amen. Signing some unrighteous decrees, amen. And got him to sign this unrighteous decree. And what happened? As soon as Daniel found out it was signed, you know what he didn't say? Oh, this is awful. This is trouble. I guess I better just give up. He got on his face where they all could hear him, and he prayed. Listen, folks, it's not enough not to worry. You got to pray too. The prohibition, your thinking in troublesome times is don't be filled with worry. How do we replace it? Not only the prohibition, but the prayer. Number 3, look at verse 6. We see the praise. The praise. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I'll tell you what, praise is a big part of prayer. At least it should be. We were mentioning in Sunday school class, I think all prayer should start with confession. We're not talking about it at a church where you come and you don't tell me your sins. There's nothing in the Bible about that. You tell God your sins, amen. But I'm talking about coming before God and saying, God, you know what, I've failed you. And forgive me for this and this, and ask God to bring things to mind. But then, I'll tell you what, after that it ought to be some adoration. Ought to be some praise. Oh God, thank you. I mentioned this morning, and I know I don't want to be redundant with this, but I do want you folks to know how much we appreciate you, how much the Zavodsky family appreciates you. We praise God for His provision through you, that we had a warm home today to go to. I think of people today without a home, or home and the heat's been shut off. Boy, if you got heat, that'd be something to praise God about. God allowed you to have children. God allowed you to have friends. God allowed you to have a wonderful church family. Amen. Food in our bellies, amen. I don't know of anybody that's here tonight that's hungry. If you are, see me. Mr. Boston will take you out, amen. Hey, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying when you're gonna prohibit worry, and you're gonna pray. Let's praise Him too. Let's praise Him. He's worthy of our praise. He's been wonderful to us. He daily loadeth us with benefits. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Great is Thy faithfulness. Amen. God is deserving of praise, especially during troublesome times. Anybody remember Job? The Lord gave, the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sounds like praise. But Pastor, 10 of His children were just taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. By the way, praise in troublesome times reveals our heart. That's why you ought to praise Him when things are going well. Amen, church? Praise. The prohibition, the prayer, the praise. Oh, I love this. In verse 7, we see the protection. That person that prohibits worry and they pray and they praise, they have some protection here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What's the protection? The peace of God. That word peace, it's a beautiful word. Beautiful Hebrew word, shalom. Brother Andy, amen. Shalom. It means safe, happy, and well. Worried, pulling out your hair. Not worried, praying. Safe, happy, and well. Remember what Jesus said to His disciples? He said to them in John chapter 14, He said, My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, is better than worry. And it's our protection from God. When we say, I'm going to prohibit worry, when we say, I'm going to pray, I'm going to praise Him, He gives us that protection. Will we have comfort? Maybe. Maybe not. But you know, there's a lot of people tonight that are having church in different areas of the world that don't live a comfortable life. Will we have prosperity? Maybe. Maybe not. Will we have health? Maybe. Maybe not. By the way, if there's a preacher that is preaching health, wealth, and prosperity, the best thing to do is get as far away from him as possible. Because he's a liar. Amen. God may give you health, wealth, and prosperity. May give you all that. And He may not. He didn't give it to Paul. Amen. He didn't give it to others in the Bible. Amen. Finances, perhaps, but no matter what our station or circumstances of life, God has promised us that we can be protected by the peace of God. The protection, the praise, the prayer, the prohibition. Verse 8, the purpose. The purpose. Replacing worry with prayer will help us to think biblically positive. This is that doctrine of replacement. Eliminate the bad, yes, but replace it with the good. And here, look at this verse. It tells us exactly what to think about. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy. Hey, think on those things, especially in troublesome times. You know what will help you to do that? Every day. Every day. Especially when you're going through difficulty. I've talked to people in this room have said when they were going through the fire of their life, they said, Pastor, I never got so close to God in all my life. I snuggled up close to Him, spiritually speaking, and found out how wonderful He is. Troublesome times. Troublesome times. The purpose is that we would think biblically positive. I want you to notice the proclamation in verse 9. The prohibition, the prayer, the praise, the protection, the purpose, the proclamation in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You know, there are two types of truths that are taught. There are spoken truths and there are lived truths. By the way, spoken truths are wonderful. Amen. That's what you're getting right now. Amen. Spoken truth. But you know what? When you leave here, it's your lived truth that matters much more than your spoken truth. We mentioned in Sunday school this morning, the old line says, your life speaks so loud I can't hear what you're saying. Appreciate that song. Went right along with, let Christ be seen in me. May Christ be seen in me. May my life and my lips agree one with another. We mentioned this morning, how many of us remember the older man when we were young with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth saying, don't smoke! Yeah. And all of us did what you just did. We laughed. No, the truth is, his spoken word was good. Don't smoke. But his life didn't match his lips, so it doesn't carry as much weight, does it? When your life and your lips match. And I want to tell you what happened here was Paul was reminding these Philippian Christians, these Christians at Philippi, saying, hey, look, remember what I taught you. Remember those things that you learned and received and heard and you saw them in me. When we bring the doctrine of the Word of God into our hearts, it changes our conduct. When we follow God's pattern for our thinking, we have His presence and peace in our lives too. Lastly, I want you to notice the production. The prohibition, the prayer, the praise, the protection, the purpose, the proclamation, the production is found in verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Right praying, right praising, right thanking, right thinking, right acting invite the presence of the God of peace. His very presence. Sometimes people say, He seems so far away. And sometimes it's just that, He seems. But sometimes it's because We're not thinking right. We're not thanking right. We're not praising right. We're not acting right. And so consequently, He is a little distant from us. It's not because He moved, it's because we went to the far country. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The production of right praying, praising, thanking, thinking, acting, invite the presence of the God of peace. I want you to look up a couple of verses with me. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Just two passages tonight and we'll close. Jeremiah chapter 9. Mentioned our friend, Medal of Honor recipient Gary Bykirk. These are his favorite verses, these two verses. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verses 23 and 24. Talking about what it produces, that presence of the God of peace. It says in Jeremiah 9:23, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgments and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight." Does God delight in your thinking? Your praying? Your praising? Your thanking? He wants to. He gives us a pattern here. Go over to Mark chapter 4. Mark 4. "The God of peace shall be with you," it says there in Philippians. This is an interesting passage. Talking about a time when the disciples were sailing here. Verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. It says, "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they cry, and they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? That's us many times in our troublesome times. Don't you care what I'm going through? Aren't you listening? What does it say? Verse 39. "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Can I answer that question for you tonight? Wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. They had God in the boat with them. They weren't going to die. Listen, folks, the prohibition is this: don't worry. Not only the prohibition, but the prayer. Our little chorus. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Trust fully in His promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? The prohibition, the prayer, the praise. With thanksgiving, it says. We've got a lot to thank Him for. Even in troublesome times. The protection, the peace of God. The purpose, think on these things. The proclamation, those things that you both heard and seen and received in me, do. And then what's the production? The God of peace shall be with you. You're thinking in troublesome times. Father,